Whether you're a Class 5 rafter or just looking for a couple of laughs, these two have you covered. Welcome to Aaron and Zach's Better Than Mediocre Rafting Show.
Welcome to Aaron and Zach's Mediocre Rafting Show, starring Courtney. Welcome to the show, Courtney.
Thanks, Zach.
How's it going? Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, Aaron and Steve might pop in. I have no idea what they're doing today. We changed the time because it's been busy, just like between trips right now. And this time of year, we're going to be able to do fewer Friday shows and fewer Tuesday shows. So this is like a combination of a Friday show and a Tuesday show. We'll answer some questions and do a little bit of video review.
Fun.
Yeah. To get things going, Courtney, if this is not education, this is entertainment. If people want education, where should they go?
They should go to Lake Tahoe Community College High School or whitewatereducation.com.
Yep.
Yep.
Or Mountain Buzz.
Mountain Buzz, yeah.
Mountain Buzz.
Your local takeout.
Yep. Yep. Just go hang out and talk to people somewhere.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we're getting a lot of questions right now, by the way, which is, we love the questions, but we're getting to them very slowly. And so if you have questions and you want anybody else to go to Whitewater Guidebook, we have a forum, and I've been able to answer questions like in the evenings or like in between trips on the forum. So you can ask a question through Whitewater Guidebook website, or you can go to the forum and ask a question, and we can try to answer them when we can. But let's start with a couple of questions, Courtney, and then we'll maybe look at a little video. So I have to figure out how to add this. Oh, there we go. So the first question is boat choice. I'm getting my one-year-old 14-foot diminished tube Moravia replaced on warranty. Pretty happy Moravia has stepped up and is going to take care of their oversights and quality control. Even though they're stepping up, I'm a bit sour on the company. And now in parentheses, and for a few others like larger tubes and I-beam floor. Oh, and sorry, sometimes I have a hard time reading these things. Yeah. It sounds like he likes larger tubes and I-beam floors. Yeah, I think I like larger tube boats, and I feel like a lot of manufacturers are making small tube boats. Mm-hmm. I will be selling the Moravia and switching to a wing. Now my only problem is which one. Yeah, I mean, they're both expensive boats. They're both high-quality boats. I've been hearing Moravia's been having problems lately. Yeah, so he's asking which wing boat. You've used wings before, Courtney. Which one do you like?
Yeah, let's see. I've used the ones that we've had on the Illinois. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They work great as gearboats. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've done road Moravia boats, just Moravia cats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have the flat floor, so they have the drop stitch floor, so it's really flat. It's kind of nice for stepping on, but they don't track as well.
The Moravias.
And they've historically been bomber boats, but there's been after, you know, Pat McAfee is?
The football guy.
He was sued by Brett Favre for saying bad things about Brett Favre. And luckily he uses the word allegedly a lot.
There you go.
So that got him out of it. So allegedly Moravia is having quality problems with their boats. And so I think a lot of people are not buying them right now because of that. Wing is a great manufacturer of boats. They make amazing boats.
Yeah.
But their knowledge of whitewater is minimal, if that. Huh. So like if you call them, they know some things, but they're not really experts at whitewater, but they make a great boat.
Yeah.
So it's trade off. Like, you know, you can't call them and ask them what boat should I get for the middle fork of the salmon, or, you know, what frame goes with this boat, because they don't really know. Or they might have answers that are not great. Anyway, I currently own a 13-foot Legend for solo day runs and shorter overnight trips. Sweet boat, Sotar Legend. So I'm thinking I probably want a bigger boat. I've never rode a 15 or 16-foot boat. Will it be too big to take my local Central California runs like North Yuba T, South Fork, Middle Fork, North Fork? Probably. Ah, man. If you're going to do multi-days like Middle Fork Salmon, Rogue, Maine Salmon, Grand Canyon, Yampa, the 16-foot boat is the optimal size. But if you also want to use it in your backyard, then like 13 or 14 foot is the optimal size. Like North Yuba, you want a 14. We used to row 16 foot boats down at Tuolumne. It's just harder. You can get it down the South Fork and the Middle Fork, but it's a little big. North Fork, it's definitely too big. So I wouldn't go 16, maybe 15. Wait, was there a question there? Was there a first question? Or would it be too big? Yeah, I think a 16 is a little too big. A 15 might work. Okay. The second question is, being a Cali boater that already has a 13-foot legend and that will travel throughout the rivers at the west, but still wants to be able to take a friend or two down the local rivers when the opportunity arises, which size wing would you get? 14, 5, 15, 16? Yes, wing means a 15-foot version of the Williamson that's 15 feet and 2 inches wider with 22-inch tubes. Okay, so I designed the 13, the 14.5, the 16, and the 18. And I can tell you there's a lot of like detail in terms of like length to width ratios that are really important to dial. And those boats are great. The 15 I did not design. So when you start tweaking with my designs, I'm not going to recommend those ever, because I'd never use them. And there could be some length to width ratio or something with the rocker that's a mess. So I'm not going to recommend the 15. The 14.5 is so close. I'm not sure why you would mess with the 14.5. I don't know what the half a foot difference makes. It makes no sense to me. So I'd go 14.5. I think that's the best overall boat. We took the Avon Adventurer, which is the previous best overall boat, added half a foot to make it a little better for gear boats. And I think the 14.5 is perfect. So for what you're doing, I'd go 14.5, I think.
Yeah, you could probably still fit gear and stuff in there too.
Yeah, run the Grand Canyon if you needed to.
Yeah.
The 16, Courtney, we just took the 16 as a paddle boat on the Illinois last week.
Oh, awesome.
So, I mean, we had a frame in the back with 4 thwarts and 6 paddles.
Oh, I thought that was so much fun.
It was awesome. Really, really forgiving, because it's like so much power, big tubes. It was really forgiving, but it's a big boat. Like mm-hmm. you wouldn't paddle. You wouldn't want to paddle boat that.
Yeah. The guide stick too. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, low water. Well, so our wings, the blue boats we have that coating. So like the yellow boats, the regular boats are just like this straight fabric, which is slicker.
Yeah.
But when you coat them, wing can coat them like Moravia coats a boat. They are a little stickier on rocks.
Yeah.
God, that 15-foot version, I don't like the fact that they made it 2 inches wider and only 6 inches longer. Hmm. I think that's a mistake. I don't think they should have done that. Let's go to Sean. I love wing, but they're 11, high side 12, Sotar. Yeah, the wing boats are going to cost a lot. They're going to cost a lot. I think you get what you pay for. That wing is going to last you a long time. And if there's a problem with it, wing will take care of it. I can't believe it's so much more expensive than the Sotar, though. Hmm. That's a lot. I generally think yes. Like, yeah. I just bought 3 new wings. They were like $10,000 a piece. It's a lot of money for 3 boats. But the one thing I know is we're probably, like, every time a boat pops in the wilderness, that's a bummer. And then when you get home, you got to deal with it. And so you want to minimize the number of quality issues you have with your boat. It ends up costing you more in the long run. And these wing boats, I think, are going to last 20 plus years. So if you're going to boat 20 years and you don't want to deal with headaches, that's great. We have, I don't know if you know this, Courtney, we have 2 of those high side duckies that we bought in 2018, those yellow ones.
Mm-hmm.
2 of them, we just blew, the floors just blew on them.
Huh.
And, you know, once a ducky, then I have to drive it to, a guide has to, you know, on the river, deal with it, tag it. I have to drive to the river. And then Highside wants us to ship them back to them.
Yeah.
Which, where do you find a box for 2 duckies? You know, it's like.
It's always in river season that you're dealing with it.
Yeah. I've had them since last fall. I just kind of like put them on a shelf and forgot about them.
Yeah.
But I'm personally like 4 or 5 hours of work into this, right? Like getting these duckies from the whole process. Like,
yeah.
That's that time is worth money.
Yeah.
You know, so like if you're going to buy a boat, like people bought these Moravias and they got them delivered. They unrolled them. They pumped them up. They used them. They found they had problems. They just ship them back. That sucks. That's time.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's cool. So I'll pay extra to know I'm getting the product I want. And with Wing, if they they've made a couple of mistakes on the boats. They've paid for shipping both ways. They made it super easy on me. I didn't have to like pack them in a box. Like they made it easy on me.
Sweet.
So I think it's worth it. I just saw Highside Cat and Assault. Yeah, they're sweet boats. And Highside makes a great boat. Have you seen the Highside Cat, Courtney?
I don't think so.
But no. you're a big fan of Highsides, right?
Oh, yeah. I love Highsides. I mean, for my lifestyle, moving a lot, don't always have a lot of storage. They roll up super tight and easy-ish field patch. Like, I popped a hole in one for something I did, and Thomas patched it at home, and it's bomber patch 3 years later, you know, not having to like mess with the extra chemicals. I don't know. Wing just, PVC?
It's urethane, but yeah. They're rolling them, especially to our blue boats. When you get the coating on the wing,
yeah,
they are unrollable.
Yeah. I can get mine down to like this little rectangle and strap it into my passenger seat in the Subaru and just like, yeah.
I had a cosmetic issue. My Moravia dealer did not want to deal with it, but Moravia covered it. I think that's tight. Yeah, I think I'm not going to get into Moravia right now.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, they're having problems. Big deal for a business for sure. Time to, yeah. I mean, I'll pay a lot more for a boat if I don't have to deal with all the headaches. And again, if it pops on the river, that could ruin the experience for our guests.
Yeah.
And so the less that happens, like that trip Thomas did where was that a Sotar or a wing that popped?
On the Illinois?
No, there's that rogue trip.
Oh. Where the gearboat popped. That was a Sotar, I think.
You know, they pulled the trip off, but Thomas did some heroics.
Yeah. He's had a lot of boats pop.
I think if you don't know how to repair a boat, mm-hmm. boats don't pop on you very often.
Yeah.
People that do know how to repair boats have been a part of a lot of epics.
There's surround myself with people that know how to repair them.
I had to either pay for shipping or drive it down. I chose to drive it. Yeah. I mean, that's a bummer when you buy a boat, the company did it wrong, and then it's on you. It's a bummer. That's a bummer. So yeah. Wing made some mistakes on some boats we bought last year. They covered shipping both ways. They sent a truck to us to pick them up. They realized it was their mistake. They made it as easy as possible. But like, if Moravia is allegedly making bad boats, they should back that up. Yeah. And that's what you're paying for. When you pay 10 grand for a wing, you're paying a little bit for it to be the customer service to be good. And so maybe because these other boats cost less, you got to pay for some of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough of that. Let's move on to, is this the last question part of this question? Okay, so while we're here, I was on the Illinois last week and I thought I'd share some video from running. This is the 16-foot wing down Greenwall. And to me, I love this boat. I think it's absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. And see there, you can see right there, that's the paddle boat with 6 people. So it's the same, but let me go back. I'm rowing up to the eddy. So that blue boat up there, that was a paddle boat with a stern frame and 6 people.
Awesome.
And then we brought the cat. We have a Moravia cat. We brought the paddle cat.
Oh, yeah. I've been in that paddle cat through Greenwall.
That thing is sweet. That's, and so it was, you know, we did this for safety. I always get nervous about Greenwall because if one of – the first, we run 2 boats at a time, 2 down with safety at the bottom, and those people walk up and they run.
Yeah.
But if one of the first two boats flips or has a swimmer, that could cause those 2 boats to go downstream, and then the next 2 boats have no safety.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of anxiety about running Greenwall responsibly, but I went with the cat first and the cat is a safety machine.
Yeah.
And so it took a lot of anxiety out because I didn't think the cat would have a problem. Mm-hmm. And then if I flip, the cat will be able to take care of that quickly.
Nice.
So having that cat took a lot of anxiety out for this trip.
I have a little anxiety just looking at that safety Scout Eddie.
Every time you're in it, you're like, oh, here we go. I was ready. Okay, so I'm ready right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm ready. And I realized they're not ready. You know when your heart's kind of like,
yeah.
I get a big rapid blow.
Uh-huh.
Like, where are they? Come on, guys. I'm looking back. Come on, guys. What's taking you so long? Let's go.
Come on.
And I have to like keep myself occupied because my mind doesn't race too much.
Mm-hmm.
There's that massive landslide too, Courtney. Check it out, right?
Oh, yeah.
See that left side?
Oh.
That whole left side up there slid down.
Wild.
Yeah. It was massive.
Huh.
And that's where there's a couple of trees in Riverside that when the water comes up again could come down. But the two that got lodged in Greenwall came from that landslide. Oh, see my trusty pins and clips.
Is that a high float you're wearing?
Yeah, I got my NRS. We're calling this the Justin Bieber. Have you heard us call it that?
No, but I watched the reel.
You know why, right? I got myself a Justin Bieber. I was really worried the water was going to be like 3,000. So
yeah.
I was prepared. Have my new NRS Pro. What's it called? Pro High Big Water Pro Guide PFD.
Nice.
And also, you know that really far left line that I had you take that one time in the paddle boat?
Oh, yeah. I was there for 20 minutes, I remember.
Yeah. Well, there's a rock like this big fell in that channel.
Oh, come on.
It is gone. That far left line, unless the water, like a low water, that line is gone. So we have to now gut the middle.
This was what, 1700?
Yeah, I'm calling it 1500.
Did it feel more like bigger? Like how was the tributaries?
The tributaries were small.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though it rained hard that night, the tributaries were all small. It felt like 1500. I'm curious what you think. I mean, so the rock at the bottom of the submarine hole was covered.
Oh.
Like Greenwall felt low, but submarine hole and Little Greenwall felt big.
Interesting.
I'm calling it 1500. That's kind of what it, you know, that's my best guess.
Yeah.
I think it rose to 1700. I think it was rising while we were on it.
Nice brown.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. And there's our throw bags at the bottom. So that's how I like to run it is, you know, two people at the bottom, you know, for the first two boats for safety. Mm-hmm. And once the first two boats get down, then those two run up and then run their two boats down.
Sweet.
All right, let's get some questions. Thanks. Yeah, this was, let's see, right. I'm now, well, let me go back. I think once that's the original drop.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people flip on the right wall here or go into this hole. See the hole right there to my right now?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that hole, or there's a rock just past it on the right, people kind of don't pay attention to and hit it and flip.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
It's hard to point out, but I feel like once you're here,
you're
like 80% done.
Yeah.
If you can be there in control, have both your oars in your hands, I think that's, you can just deal with the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people scout the part below and don't pay attention to upstream. And at this point, they're spinning out of control. They maybe flipped on the right wall. They got somebody swam in the hole. So once I'm here, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, it's a long scout. I mean, you also can't screw up this part, but it's a lot easier to screw up this part if you don't take the top part seriously.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen people screw up this part so many ways and be okay.
Yeah, true.
And the swim below here is not awesome, but it's not the worst thing. But the swim from up top, you know, so I'm like, if you just get past that top stuff, this stuff generally works itself out. That log, I see Sean's question about the log. That rock right in front of me, it was on that log. There's a 50-foot tree on that log.
So it just, we think it just flushed or?
It flushed, yeah. Cause so like, cause momentum was out there, I think at like 2,200. And then it came, and when they saw the log, and it came to 2,600. And it was already, in the video, it was kind of teetering already.
Uh-huh.
It definitely flushed. That's where the log was. And then one of our boats popped an oar right here and went down that left side of that. I don't know if you, like, there's a rock in front of me.
Yeah.
And they didn't make the move to the right and got just, it wasn't a big deal. They got stuck a couple, they got stuck on some rocks, but we got them through.
I've been there before.
Yeah. It's unpleasant. But it goes.
It goes.
It goes. So, but that's where the tree was, Sean. Okay, let's get to some comments and our last question. Do you ever worry about popping your boat? I don't worry about it. I mean, if I have like an old like PVC boat, yeah, I'm worried about it. But if I have anything modern, you can beat, I beat on boats hard. And occasionally they pop and you just deal with it.
I feel like it depends on like most river rocks are worn, but if it's something that's been churned up recently, that's when you get sharper rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had a raft sink. This person, okay, I've never had a raft sink. Usually because they have compartments. And so if you pop it, they still float.
Yeah.
If you had a raft sink, you should maybe get a boat that has baffles so that that shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have a raft sink.
Yeah.
I've been around like on the river, like 20, 30 pops and you just pull over, you deal with it. It's not, not a big deal. Wouldn't you say Sotar is similar build quality to wing? I've owned a lot of Sotars and I've owned a lot of wings. And in my opinion, the wings are quite a bit better in terms of build quality. And I love Sotar. I don't want to, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying the wings are, in my experience with the boats I have owned, the wings are have a better build quality. Paid a lot for extra D-rings. Yeah, extra D-rings are great. Got to that one, got to that one. The 15-foot wing has a similar length and width to the other two boats. The Surge is 2.18, 2.12 in the Williamson, 2.14 in 15. Yeah, the Surge is the perfect. The Surge is the one that's perfect. The other ones are based off of the Surge and a little different. But I have no experience with the 15, so I'm not going to speak to it. I know the other ones. I've used the other ones. I don't know why they made a 15 when there's a 14.5. That seems insane to me. But I can't speak to the 15. You can run salt. Yeah, three. You can run. Yeah, you'll make it down stuff even with that. Yeah, Terry. I mean, we only bring Terry now. I don't even bring glue unless we have Hypalump. Like our NRS boats, we sometimes bring glue. But Terry is amazing. It's
good to get you through and out.
Yeah, do you want to talk about your guys' experience with that boat that popped on? Remember on the, weren't you on that Illinois trip?
Oh, yeah. I was mostly on entertaining the trip. But I hear that they used a lot of duct tape and Terrain, and it got us through. Like, if you've got a large patch, it instead of being in the field and doing a glue patch that you're probably going to have to redo, like, Terrain can get you through the trip and like come off clean, and then you can get like a solid patch without having to take the glue off and do it again. That's, I mean,
it wasn't that tear like 18 inches or 2 feet.
It was really long. Yeah. But, I mean, which one?
The one on the that like I one think, we did on that wing boat.
Yeah. Is there two boats that popped on that trip?
I can't remember. There was one that the tear was like this.
Yeah.
And tarried. I think Thomas did an inside tarade and an outside both.
Yeah.
Inside, outside. So it worked great.
Yeah, that was a gearboat too. That wasn't light. Yeah.
Yep. in interest of maintaining or building fitness for rowing river trips, do either of you have a recommendation? I want one. But no. Do you have one, Courtney?
No.
Yeah. I honestly think that push-ups and pull-ups are the best thing you can do.
Yeah.
I think physical strength. I mean, it's not like you're not, it's not like cycling. Heidi's a cyclist where you're like rowing for 4 hours straight. You're doing intense short bursts of power to make the hardest moves. And then just a lot of this.
Yeah. And like, it's, if you're rowing, it's like a full body thing too. Like legs count. I don't know. Arms do, but I cycle. I don't, that's how I like stay in shape. I don't know.
Yeah, me too. Do you have any helmet? No, but I just think that you can't go wrong with a sweet protection helmet of any kind. It costs more, but they're comfortable. Yeah, you can't. You get what you pay for, like a lot of things. Yeah, I think there's nobody needs to bring glue anymore. I'm convinced. Like, Terry type A, just do type A. Don't even mess around. Terry type A. Mm-hmm. Don't even guess what type B is for. Just use
type. Two types.
I mean, type A and type B, both, here's type A right here. Type A and type B work. They both work on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Type A is superior on almost everything. Type A has an immediate cure. Type B has a 24-hour cure.
That's what it is.
But you can put type B on and it'll work immediately. It just, it won't fully cure for 24 hours. So they both work. Just get type A Terraid. I put it in a little thing like this. I don't have any more of these, so please don't ask. But if you go buy some M&Ms, there's a certain M&M container you can buy that Terraid fits in perfectly.
Is that what that is?
No, I bought this from Uline.
Oh.
It's actually, they come, I bought them bigger like this. Mm. And then I cut them all down to size.
Neat.
Right. But you can go to like get this certain M&M container and Terraid fits perfectly. Put it in there to protect it. Don't, if you carry the box, like.
Oh, yeah.
People bring just the box. I have a box right here. People bring just the boxes. Just and over time, it just gets smashed and protect it somehow. Water rower is much. There we go. Thanks, Brian.
Nice.
It's a pretty good looking. Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. Yep. Yep. And they do the tests. They're generally the safest. They look cool too.
Yeah.
It's an important thing. Okay. One more question. And we're going to finish this one up. So we got to this. Hopefully we answer this question. I would say for what you're doing, get the 14.5, the Williamson. Okay. I'm going to do the Oahe for the first time in a couple of weeks. Yeah. You and everybody else. Wow. There's a lot of people going to the Oahe.
It's nice down there.
Yeah. It's been perfect flow. Great weather.
Mm-hmm.
And saw your comment about good campus, but didn't see the cave or Jackson Hole in the Biela maps. Is there a better guidebook I should pick up before my trip, or did I miss them on the map? There's no better guidebook than the BLM one. There's no real guidebook. The BLM one is it. It's not even printed. It's a PDF. You have to print it yourself. Michael actually has it. They used to print it. Michael has a printed copy, which is really cool. I think you might have missed them on the map. I'm pretty sure Jackson Hole is on the map. It's a pretty major camp. The cave, I don't know if it's on there or not. I'm not even sure. It's probably not even called the cave. It probably has a name like, you know, Johnny's camp, but there just happens to be a cave there. I just call it the cave.
Is that the one on River Left with the Cape River spot?
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet.
It's a good camp for like 12. It's a little bit small for a full trip.
Yeah. I bet at high water too, it's not there.
It wouldn't. Yeah. Imagine camping there when the water came high.
Yeah.
Oof. But I also have to say, like, I like that some camps aren't listed.
Yeah.
I feel like you should go. This is my opinion. It's nice to go into a river trip knowing the information, the basic information. And your first time, you can camp at the normal camps. But I like that there's some places that like only the veterans know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some like secret spots that aren't exactly listed. So the BLM map has plenty of camps. And it's going to treat you well. But if they're not on there, like, that's kind of a good thing. Let's like leave some places unmarked. I think it's a good thing. So, yeah. Let's see. When are you going to do a video review of the recent flyovers in Middle Fork? That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Man, where are those photos? Can we find out? Can somebody, I mean, we'll look. Do you want to look at those photos, Courtney? Sure. Have you seen those photos?
Yeah. I think I got an email with them.
If you email them to me, I'll try to pull them up. Or if you can pull them up, I'll pull them up.
Here, let me email them to you.
Yeah. Right, of course. I can try to pull those up. I mean, I think that the general thinking is the river looks good. Wait, I mean,
below boundary. Yeah.
Below boundary, yeah. Marsh Creek sounds like, because there's a lot of photos and people saw the photos and thought, oh, it's bad. But those were photos above Boundary Creek.
Yeah.
So I think we're done with these questions.
All right. Just before I do the email. Yeah, I talked to Thomas today. They're pulling the plug on it.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. Because they're going to start at Marsh.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it's not fun to go into a place with a bunch of, sieves. Are they going to go? I told Brody, I said, if the Bruno garbage is in, you always do that.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
Like that should be mandatory. How am I going to show these photos from my email? Let me see what I can do. I'll open up a few and we'll see what happens. Wow, there's a lot of photos here. Open up a couple. Let's see. So where'd they decide to go?
Last I heard was bumming around the Loxon Payette. Cool. Yeah. Also not a bad time.
Not a bad place to be.
No.
So while we're here, I just want to share everybody to remind them about Why What a Guidebook. And then we have this forum. I'm trying to it's much easier for me to answer questions here. But if you have a question for the show, you can ask it through this tab, ask a comment. We're going to be really slow to answer the questions over the next few weeks. So putting a question in the forum is a great way to get it. And I'm trying to add information on that we get on the here too, just to update people with stuff that we get secretly. Not secretly, but kind of secretly. And then also we have a lot of river descriptions. And going back to the Oahe, this is what I feel like is a good amount of information for a Hawaii trip. Like not many camps are on here, but I kind of feel like this has the highlights and you'll figure the camps out. And
yeah,
at the bottom, there's a link to that map. So if anyone wants to see that map, it's a crazy map because it has like all the sections of the Oahe and the Bruno and Jarvidge. So it's a lot of pages long. Was that 76 pages long? Whoa. But you can just print out the pages that you want for the trip you're doing. And then we laminate them for our trips, for our guides. Anyway, that's that. And let me pull up, see if I can pull up a photo. There we go. So what's this? This is by Marsh Creek.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's damn things have been dammed up a little bit.
Hmm.
Yeah, it says pictures start with Marsh Creek and go downstream.
There's at least one with a ton of wood.
In Marsh Creek?
Yeah.
Oh, here's a good one. This is gonna take a minute because I have to open up one of these every one of these one at a time. So that looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
That looks unpleasant. And Marsh Creek is so continuous. I mean, portaging a raft around. I guess it looks like there is a far left line there, though.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way around it, but it's so continuous that you just don't have time to make a lot of these moves.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a good one. Let me open this one up. That's
cool.
Pretty. Unless you can duck below that river left log right there,
mm-hmm.
But it still doesn't look great.
Gosh, I mean, it's all gonna come downstream eventually, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe the river's coming back up next week, so I kind of, please, hopefully it stays there. Like, stay yeah. there. Don't come mess up the middle fork.
Yeah.
Let's see what else do we have. Oh, here's this is the, hold on, this is the log jam at Ramshorn, it looks like, or the previous log jam. Mm-hmm. So I think this is where I think everybody's about to be really happy. So the short, for those of you short above, we're above Boundary Creek if you're doing the Marsh Creek section to launch before the road opens. And now this is the that nasty one that was at Ramshorn. It was covered in wood last year.
Oh, it just washed out throughout the day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
Huh. That's how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, I think from what we're seeing, let's see if I can find another one. Dagger here. Okay, so this one's a little interesting. I think this is Hell's Half Mile. These are not the best quality photos. But I mean, there's we don't usually go the right side anyway.
Yeah.
The line is left.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's gonna, you know, especially at high water, it's gonna be a little unnerving because there's a lot of rapid above here. If you made a mistake, you could swim into that. Or
yeah. There'd always been wood at that center. There's always been like a little center channel, right?
You know, I never pay attention because
I go left something.
Yeah. Mm. There is yeah, there's an island there, but I'm never there like looking at the views.
Yeah, true.
So the line's definitely left. So it's clear. And so right now, of course, I feel like pretty comfortable we're gonna be able to run our trips from Boundary Creek. But what I'm worried about is another logjam happening.
Yeah.
Let me see if there's anything else. Oh, here's another view of that same one. So that's
Hell's.
That's the same one from a different view.
Okay. I mean, so, there's a channel.
Yeah.
It's a great channel.
You definitely want to be confident.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is, like, Hell's Half Mile's harder at low water, right? Like, high water, it kind of buffers out.
Yeah, at 6 feet, it makes me nervous. There's, like, at 6 feet, the bottom makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Also, because a flip there sends you right into Velvet.
Yeah, true.
But here's Velvet. And, I mean, it was a mess. And it looks great. I mean,
slide.
I don't know if you saw the photos of all the logs in there at low water, the thing that happened last year, but this was an absolute mess and it cleaned out nice.
Yeah, that's nice. Wonder if those logs are still in the safety eddy.
Which safety eddy?
Upstream. The one on River Right after it. There was like a big.
Oh, yeah.
But I bet you can't tell from here.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the bottom line is that things look good.
Yeah, it was great news.
Until the next, there's
knock on wood. Yeah.
I mean, and honestly, like, it just seems inevitable. There's gonna be more slides this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, all we can do is hope we're not above it when it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. At least hopefully, we're not above it.
At least the helicopter evacuation crew is practiced.
Yeah, at least we know how to get boats out. But man, it's an expensive endeavor.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being a private group who just pieced it all together on a budget.
Yeah.
And then you come up with 30 grand to fly out.
Oof. Yeah.
No, that's a little nerve-wracking. Okay, so Virginia Tech did an unbiased test on whitewater helmet safety that you can easily find online. Yeah, I think they did do a study. The helmet companies that did poorly in that study have refuted the study.
Hmm.
And they've written some articles about how that study was unfair and poorly done and blah, blah, blah. So the sweep protection helmets did really well. The Whitewater Research and Safety Institute helmets, the ones that people think are a lot of times the best, didn't do very well.
Oof.
So, yeah. So, but also, like, you know, the Strutter, the sweet one that I have, that's like black and has the visor.
Oh yeah.
That one did pretty bad too.
Oh, But that one, that one's nice because a little sun protection.
And it looks cool.
You look cool.
You look cool. So I actually, after that scene, that study, I started wearing that helmet less.
Mm.
And it's black. Mine's black. And my other sweet one's red. So I'm more visible.
Nice.
The first four or so are identified marsh cream comments. Yeah. So anyway, boy, really didn't miss Aaron today.
Oh, I even wore my Aaron shirt. Doesn't he usually wear blue?
He does. It's like way more pleasant not having to argue with them for an hour. Oh. But thank you everybody for watching. Oh, do you want to do Aaron's? Do you want to try to do Aaron's close down?
Ooh, shoot. What does he say?
Yeah, I'll tell you, then you can try it. He says, don't forget to like and subscribe. He thanks all of our members.
Mm-hmm.
He asks when we're gonna get to, and he asks when we're gonna get to 10,000 subscribers.
Oh. Okay, thank you, everybody. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And Zach, when are we going to get to 10,000 members?
Last week.
Woo!
10,000 subscribers. Yeah. We have like 100 members, but we got to 10,000 subscribers last week, which is pretty exciting.
That is pretty cool.
It's a nice milestone.
Yeah.
And Courtney, thanks for taking time to be on the show.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to, I'll be gone quite a bit. There may be an upcoming Courtney and Michael show, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
All right, bye everyone. Well, I gotta figure out how to do the end.